Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh man, back from the dead. I was sick like Thursday and Friday, but boom! Sleeping like 17 hours a day, prepping for the college football weekend, pop a little Sudafed. Oh yeah, that like, you know, the felony grade Sudafed, the stuff that they make you sign over, like, you know, vital blood samples and stuff. It's how they get your blood. Globalists.
Nobody paid for that. You can't do that this week.
You're
just going to hurt yourself again. It's a vicious cycle.
Is that what got you sick?
I'm going to credit that as what got me sick, or at least what made me realize I was getting sick, because I did that, and then I was like, oh no, something's very wrong with
my throat. You know what it was? It was the nanobots that the government puts in the air. They thought you were Alex Jones,
mm-hmm.
So they signaled for them to attack.
InfoWars hero, Spencer Hall.
Yeah, you're the Spartacus of InfoWars right now.
They came after me with their frog DNA. Got my blood. But I rebounded for Saturday. Let me tell you what. Glad I did. Dang it. Because I got to watch a couple extraordinary things. Gentlemen, joining me. We did get to see them together. This is Ryan Nanny coming to us from beautiful Brooklyn, New York. Say hi.
It's not beautiful, but hi. It's fine. Oh, but it's not beautiful.
Also, hearing us on no 3 second delay, and I believe indoors for once, we got a Jason Kirk.
Hey, what's happening?
The rain usually drives you inside. I said usually.
Yeah, it did. It did today.
Yeah. Yeah, we all work at SBNation.com, basically. Sometimes we talk about college football, especially on the review show. Because we're recording this on Sunday night. We had a tragic comical weekend of great import. Things happening all over the place, both of actual and imagined importance. For instance, imagined importance. I don't know how important it is that Miami beat FSU in the global scheme of things with college football. But
was,
you know what?
It was very important to Michael Irvin. It was very important to Michael Irvin.
Was it now? What was the playmaker's response to this?
Just bellowing incoherently, really, on video, on like a cell phone video. It's cool. Hey, you know what? Somebody either definitely did or definitely did not get stabbed in the neck with a pair of scissors because of that game. So that's good.
You know, if Michael Irvin, I will say this. If something's important to you once, it's important to you forever if you're Michael Irvin. Because there are a lot of people who, you know, their employer from 18 to 22, they don't really remember much. Like, you know, I'm never really going to go back to that telemarketing place I worked in college and be like, yeah, I ride for them hard. But dang it, Michael Irvin, he went to the University of Miami when he was 18 to 22. And he's a grandfather. And he's still, like, shouting out the U's. So, you know, you want Michael Irvin riding for you. I mean, he might stab somebody in the neck. He did that for himself, though,
out of love.
Out of love.
Sort of.
He did, out of self-love. Out of self-respect. Because who sits in your chair and takes your spot?
Not some damn rookie. That's who. Not some damn rookie.
Uncle Mike, I didn't ask you to do that. Why didn't you ask yourself to do that? That's
now,
the question.
Listen, I understand that we don't know if the Miami game was important, but you saying that kind of steers into the best thing that's happened out of that game, which is Florida State fans insisting that Miami hasn't played anybody worth a damn, including Florida State.
That's an advanced move. Now, I think it's one that we as Florida fans have used before, which is beating us doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, I think it's fair. Like, oh, okay, so you're as good as NC State, huh? You know, that's... And it's one that Miami fans themselves have had to trot out several times over the last 7 years. Oh, you beat Al Golden, okay. Oh, you beat Randy Shannon, okay. You know, you finished off what the NCAA started. So, hey, Knowles, you get to break out all that stuff you got tired of hearing.
Definitely warming that one up for Georgia 2017, buddy. You know it.
I like that just immediately stop on a dime. As soon as one of these streaks stops, you know, both fan bases. It's like they have scripts that they just hand each other, like reading for a play, and they say like, "Nah, actually, I should probably be the robber. And, you know, you should be the cop.
You will be Iago now. Ah, excellent."
This is the you know, hey, listen, I'm gonna do the power bomb to you now, and this is how to sell it, right? Like, that's really. It should be done like wrestling moves, right? Like, I should be like the Rock to the Stunner. As a Florida fan, I should be like, no, man, I think we're incredible. You guys are amazing because you beat us. I fly off the ropes and, you know, spit my drink out when you hit me with the full Stone Cold.
So, but the game, I assume when we're talking about whether games mattered or not, I'm assuming the other direction you're going to go with this is Iowa State 38, Oklahoma 31.
Oh no, that mattered.
Okay.
that very much mattered. That mattered in the you know, there are these great threads that go around on the internet every now and then, which is, what's the most money you ever cost your company? Or what's the biggest mistake you ever made at work? Right? And inevitably there's somebody who crashes into the thread and they're like, yo, here's a YouTube video of me dropping a 20-ton air conditioning unit on one of my coworkers. It killed the man. The project was delayed for 6 months, and I just got out of jail. Right? Like, you go, whoa!
You're like, geez, I thought when I ordered 100 copiers instead of 10, I was in trouble. But damn.
Yeah, because you know what Oklahoma did? They dropped the AC unit on their coworker. Ugh. They just there could be some time.
The AC unit's name is Mike Stoops.
Yeah. He's frantically waving on the crane. I'm not secured.
Just hopping up and down on the platform.
Yeah. I mean, there's the levels to this, right? Like, it's one thing to just get flat out beat, right? You just get flat out beat because, you know, you're inept or something's completely inept. It's another thing to get beat because multiple things went wrong and because there are multiple levels and degrees to the upset. For instance, Iowa State coming into this game, their record, they were 2-2. Not really a big, bad, bold 2-2 indicating that Iowa State had turned some kind of micro corner on the way to greatness or even competence, right? This team, before this week, you would have gone, ah, this could still go really wrong. Who knows? It still might go really wrong for Iowa State. What else happened to them in the lead up to this game? Was their roster set?
It was, and then the quarterback was no longer the quarterback. For, I think, unspecified medical reasons, Jacob Park has taken a leave of absence. That put Kyle Kemp, who had never had thrown like two passes or three passes going into this game, in his whole career, not like this season, nope. And he's either a junior or a senior, so it's also not like, well, he's just new and green. He ended up with 343 yards and three touchdowns.
Kyle Kemp lit it up.
But the best part to me is that Kyle Kemp was not the only player to throw passes.
No, sir.
Iowa State. No, there was Joel Lanning, a linebacker who also played a little quarterback. And you say, oh, well, that happens. Sometimes you have to move a player. No. He continued to play linebacker. He got a sack on Baker Mayfield. This was like some like 1948 shit. Oklahoma lost to a time traveler.
Yeah, he was second on the team of tackles. He recovered a fumble. He had a sack. Guess what else? He played Wildcat quarterback. He was 2 for 3 for 25 yards. Oh, and he ran the ball 9 times. He was amazing. He was their second best runner.
I mean, what are you supposed to do when the other team is breaking out, you know, old school positions like end?
Wolf Trabazinski of Claremont College. That's what Joel Lanning was. Joel Lanning was some 1924 up in your face against Oklahoma. And here's the thing. If you look at Oklahoma, the one thing that they really couldn't do offensively, that was like prevent Iowa State from scoring on defense. That was it. They had yards. They didn't even like turn the ball over 5 times. You see a score like this and go, oh, starting one. I guess Oklahoma must have turned the ball over a mess, right? Like Michigan against Michigan State this weekend. And go, oh, man, five turnovers. Nope. One. That is the margin in the game, mind you. A coach would leap on you for not even pointing that out, right? Like, oh, one score, that's the margin in the game. That's right there. Yeah, but you know what? There's something else that's really terrifying in all this. And that's not just the autoplay that continues to play every single time.
That's our new podcast theme, by the way. I hope y'all like that by DJ Autoplay.
We have not paid for that music. Please don't sue. Please don't. Please don't sue.
Dude, we're gonna be billionaires when autoplay stops, and suddenly things like a podcast that gets, you know, a steady but small audience quadruples in value as they seek to hide that weakness. Let's just hang on to this, right?
We're pivoting to bad podcasts.
That's it. They'll be like, man, we are pivoting to loyally followed but very small podcasts. Be like, yo, small batch.
We don't franchise. We could never franchise.
No. But that's the weird thing, is that if you look at this game, it's not like Oklahoma makes a lot of mistakes. Nope. This is even punching. One last detail in all of this, right? One last detail. Wow. I bet that home crowd in Ames really enjoyed watching Iowa State pull another one of those patented AIM upsets that don't
happen. One of those weird Saturday nights in Ames.
Oh, yeah. No, this was noon in Norman.
Noon in Norman.
Ugh. Do you know what it... Y'all...
Worst porn title ever.
Did you watch the end of this game? There's like 70,000 people going, oh. All making the Hank Hill noise at once.
The spread for this was a staggering 31 points. Like, this was not any type of, oh, that's a good win. This was this will very likely be the biggest upset of the year.
So Oklahoma covered if you don't count Iowa State's score at all.
Exactly.
Good job. Yeah, and now the best part is this. When you lose, when you are a playoff aspirant and you lose to a team early in the year, you have to, in some way, root for that team the rest of the year, because you know that there will be some potential argument down the line where we start comparing losses and other things that everybody hates. Things that are way too early to do now, but fuck it, do it anyway. This is the best part about college football as opposed to the NFL. And now you have to root for Iowa State. You, part of this is that you have sort of mortgaged a little piece of your season and given it to Iowa State and say, please take care of this. Please don't burn this. Please don't break it. Please don't lose it in the back of a cab. Please don't accidentally trade it for magic beans that aren't magic at all. It's part of our season. We need you to do a good job. Do you think they're going to do a good job? It's Iowa State, so let's be honest.
No. Here's another thing, too. Oklahoma had arguably the highest profile or tied for highest profile out-of-conference win. When you talk about major program fights major program on TV and renders it null and void, and that was beating Ohio State, correct?
Yep.
Like we've kind of forgotten that Alabama just crippled Florida State for an entire year, right? Because we expect that of Alabama. They're just going to do that. That's not what Oklahoma, Ohio State was. That was going to be a verdict on which one of these teams was realer at this point. And now their path to the Big 12, it sucks. It sucks, particularly when you've got TCU looking like just this morphing, difficult to like pin down. I'm not even really sure where to grab this thing to try to like fight it kind of monster. We'll talk a little bit more about TCU later because I think they're fascinating. But this is not good, Oklahoma. Like, this is not good for you, and frankly, not real great for the Big 12, because I could easily see every team in this conference dropping a game, at least one.
What, you don't think Iowa State's playoff run is good for the Big 12?
Damn, hadn't even considered that.
I mean, I know their ceiling is two losses at this point, but hey, Penn State almost made it, and that's a team with State in its name.
Iowa State, the shutdown full cast of college football teams, the Power Five teams.
Quite accurate.
Amazing once every 9 years.
And yet, of the losses that happened this weekend, you would think Oklahoma Iowa State would be the one that has a fan base most like up in arms. It seems like it's actually Michigan State, Michigan, right?
Honeymoon is over.
Which is fucking perplexing because the game was played in terrible conditions without a starting quarterback who we learned maybe accidentally has multiple broken bones in his back. And Michigan still almost, I mean, yeah, it was in a very Michigan State game. But like, considering Oklahoma was a team that lots of people were saying was going to make the playoff, Michigan was a team that before the season, lots of people were saying is a year away from the playoff. There is like, man, the eagerness with which lots of people are willing to be like, Jim Harbaugh, trash, overrated, garbage, trash coach, throwing the fuck out. It's absolutely amazing.
Like, Michigan was supposed to be about 4-1 at this point. This is a rebuilding Michigan team. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, yes, this is a rebuilding Michigan State team too, and Michigan should have won by quite a bit and all that. Mm-hmm. Sure. But I mean, I totally agree. Like, Michigan is still on course for the season that we expected them to have. You can still win 8 or 9 games. That is the realistic goal for this team, especially considering your starting quarterback just, you know, Bane just broke him over his knee or whatever. Like, yeah, you got no monsoon and you probably threw it a few times more than you should. I don't think that's quite a reason to go hire John Gruden.
Well, and you know, everybody's all, oh, you know, Michigan keeps finishing third in the Big Ten East. Well, they're fourth now, so.
Problem solved. Variation. Are you not entertained? What more do you people want?
Theme and variation.
Listen. When you make a genie wish, you have to be specific, all right? Hey,
if y'all keep whining, tell you what. Here comes Maryland. Keep whining. We'll turn this bus around. We'll fall behind Indiana.
I do want you to take a minute to appreciate the best running gag to me in college football. The best running gag, which is that at every moment when Michigan is at its weakest, like, that. This is it. Michigan State, trash boxer, sits in the corner, just takes a beating. And the minute you go, hey, does that guy in the third row have popcorn? Boom! Right in the nuts. Like, just right in the nuts, headbutt down. That's every single game Michigan State has played. Which, by the way, last 10 years, what's that record? Against little brother. 8-2! Michigan State's 8-2. And the timing is always so bad. It's always the worst. It's always we lose this block punt. We get annihilated when our spirits are at our lowest. When we think things are going really well and we're negotiating some troubled waters. Ah, Tropical Storm D'Antonio just comes in, swamps the decks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Spencer, I know you watch Bob's Burgers. Michigan is Jimmy Pesto. And Michigan State is Bob and his whole family. And you know what? Gene just ran for like 85 yards on you. And it sucks. But your son loves to dance, Michigan. This all kind of works.
And like, if you look at the game too, you know, Michigan's like, oh man, our offense is just, we got dominated. No, you didn't. You actually had more first downs than Michigan State. Problem was, you turned the ball over 5 times. This is it. Also, Michigan State special. Remember, like, there were 2 or 3 years, we get like Kirk Cousins and we get young, bright, shiny quarterbacks who really start to produce something like offense at Michigan State. No way, man. This is a D'Antonio classic. Did we even hit 100 yards passing? Hell no, we did not. Did you rush for 200 yards and control the clock? No.
Nope. None of that.
Did you get to 14
and start punting.
Did you pick up a bunch of gritty third downs? Nope, didn't do that either.
No.
Just punts. Punt.
What did you do? Endured.
Punted, waited. Waited on weather. That is the most Michigan State game plan of all time. Just wait on weather.
What would you do? We waited on God.
Mark Antonio got to
14, punted, and prayed to God.
We built an ark We loaded it with two of every kind of punt, and then we just waited. And meanwhile, Jim Harbaugh was walking around, you know, talking about it's not going to rain, it's not going to rain, wallowing in his iniquity.
I mean, the classical Spartans did just sort of, like, hang behind their walls, right? They weren't like, oh, let's go get it. Nah, just hang back. Maybe the sea will eat them. Let's hope.
Yeah.
This time the sea ate you. It's cool.
The Spartan strategy is just kind of getting a big old bunch, jam into a tight spot, and see what happens.
Michigan State didn't even attempt a field goal in this game. This game is so stupid. So stupid. Why are Michigan fans that? Well, no, that's why they got dragged into a stupid contest, and you didn't go to Michigan to participate in a stupid contest.
They did. Like, I would. I wish that Michigan State and or Mark D'Antonio was an MMA fighter because they would be the kind of guy that gets booed and wins like 70-80% of their matches, right? Like the kind of guy who like gets a couple of good points and then just gets the guy up against the cage and starts rubbing his face against it. He's not trying anything remotely offensive here.
He just sits on his face. Just tries to put his butt all over his face. Yeah, I don't think you're really hurting him. Yeah, but he can't do anything.
Do you know another move besides the triangle choke? Nope. Nope.
Never needed one.
That's it. What do you try to do? Just try to suffocate you with my nutsack. That's all I'm doing this entire game. Just the worst.
Nothing but the 10-count chest slap. One, two. Hurry. Let him down, just, throw him back up just, again. What?
It's just somebody trying to put you in the lion tamer every single play, right?
What I really enjoyed about this game was after it was over, during the on-field post-game interview, Mark D'Antonio, without even really being asked, he just shoehorns this in because he clearly has a plan. He's like, you know, they always told me this bus ride home is the best one you're ever going to experience. And I'm like, yep, you really just wanted everybody to remember that you did this in Ann Arbor, didn't you? You really just wanted to drive home like, yeah, that's right. This isn't my house that we just shit all over. You have to clean it.
It is. Yeah, so MVP, remember, MVP, Jake Hartbarger. That's Michigan State's punter. My favorite thing, by the way, I was like, man, who was the MVP of this game? You look around, I'm like, well, it was probably the punter, Jake Hartbarger, because he averaged about... you know, 40 a kick. Pretty solid work. I was like, did they have any hidden yardage in returns or something? Nope. No, they had 1 yard in terms of like returns between punts and kicking net.
Well, and the Spartans did have two clutch punts, which in Ann Arbor in this series, you do need some clutch punt work, if you'll recall. He had one not only out of his own end zone after penalty backed up. There was also one at the very end of the game when a lot of people were kind of like, uh-oh, you know, like, could we see another one of these things swing on a stupid punt? And no. That only happens to you, Michigan.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, other than that, it's like, it's David Dowell for picking two balls off, but, I mean, those are just setting up a punt, really. So it's a teamwork effort. You intercept the ball so that you have better position to punt it on.
It's a supply chain kind of thing.
The Dowell Hartbarger pipeline. It's going to get Michigan State to the Citrus Bowl.
It's fine. It's good. Fire Jim Harbaugh tomorrow. He's entitled.
Yeah, my favorite. Yeah, which I will say this. Michigan fans, they're not really out and about after a loss. They do kind of just turtle up. Because I think it really hurts them. Also, they have to process, right? They have to go study it. They're like, I don't know, I'll consult my notes. I'll decide how I feel after I take these feelings.
You know, there was an episode of Poirot that touched on this in many ways.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch some premium PBS. Maybe I might indulge a little bit in some Antiques Roadshow.
Listen. Michigan State won because of donor. Michigan State won because of donors like you, Michigan.
No, that's Ole Miss, right? The Michigan fan would blame it on Ole Miss.
Listen,
Miss cheating. That's
how there is there is one game. There is one result I looked at on the schedule, and I did think, like, yeah, that might be the bell tolling for somebody. Do you know which game I'm to which I'm referring?
Bielema?
Yep.
This Arkansas losing a game that. Yeah, man, because...
Let's not be gentle, because I don't think Burt would. Arkansas gave up 48 points to South Carolina, lost this game by 26 points, got dominated in basically every phase of the game, and did it with a experienced quarterback who went 12 of 24 for 84 yards, one touchdown, one pick.
Well, isn't Steve Spurrier still the head coach of South Carolina? Don't they score a lot of points?
Yes. I'm just going to continue to believe that.
Yeah. So that's not that bad, right?
Nope.
And this is Bert's first year. You're at Arkansas, right?
Yep. He's cleaning up that mess. He's cleaning up that mess that he inherited, you know.
It's the first year of his fifth year.
True.
So he's a president who's on his second term.
Right. So really, I don't think we should talk about the first term. That was all, you know, that was all what he had to do to get reelected. Yeah. This is all about his lame duck.
He was.
Oh, that's brilliant. You can spend 8 years in a job and not get a single thing done. The first one's about trying to get four more. The second four is just, well, I'm going to be gone in four. That's an amazing job. I got to get that job.
Move straight to the lame hog stage of the administration. This is year five, and if Arkansas wants to be done with him, you know who would agree with it? Brett Bielema would probably agree with it. This is a team that in year five doesn't really resemble anything like what they thought they were supposed to get, right? This is one of those times when you go, oh, you really just wanted to hire the program and not the actual coach, right? This is what everybody did at Boise State when they said, oh, let's just take Boise State's coach. That'll be fine. It'll look exactly like what we think it'll look like. No. Boise State's really good because Boise State hires smart and because that program is built from ground up and always kind of looks like that program, right? They've got like a culture that sort of overrides what the actual management looks like from stage to stage, right? Like what Arkansas actually wanted was the Wisconsin football program, right? They wanted, oh yeah, let's just have a bunch of fat guys in a running game. Be great. It'll succeed real well. 110 games up there, it'll 110 games in Arkansas. I know this is a weird thing, but like fat football didn't thrive in Arkansas for a lot of reasons. But the foremost reason is the management.
This movie has been played so many times on this flight, because after this, Arkansas gets Alabama on the road, which, okay, sure. And Alabama that is now woken up and is ready to stop playing like, in, you know, lazy assholes pumped up by media rat poison. Finally gonna fulfill their destiny. An Alabama team that, by the way, committed its first turnover since November of last year against Texas A&M. Clearly what shit they'd been playing like.
Yeah.
So and then after that, Arkansas gets to play Auburn, who looks kind of amazing right now. So they're going to lose those two games, and we're going to be talking about, well, 2-5. I don't know. Feels like you got to be done with them at the end of the season. And then because the rest of the season has a bunch of much more winnable games, at Ole Miss, which is who even fucking knows at this point, Coastal Carolina, at LSU, which. Yeah, some teams can beat them. Who's to say? Mississippi State, Mizzou. He's absolutely going to win like four of his last five, drag them to bowl eligibility, win some dumb bowl nobody cares about on December 3rd or something. And everybody's going to say, well, you got to look at how he turned the team around. You got to just really, the progress that was made.
November coming.
Yeah, I don't actually think this is the year that happens. I think this is the year that like Jared Jones just swoops in out of nowhere and pays that buyout. Just Like, where he thinks he's happy and some rich dude is like, au contraire!
And that's how we get Derek Dooley moving from the Dallas Cowboys to the Arkansas Razorbacks. Back in the SEC, better than ever. He'll probably beat Tennessee because fate hates everyone.
Austin Allen was, like, at the end of last year, was playing beautifully, and he's broken right now. And when you don't get, when you don't make a quarterback better, something's off, right? Like, that's, if you're that talented an athlete, like, if the offensive line is giving you reasonable, like, protection, and you have guys to throw to, which he does, I think he's got, you know, ample weapons. He's got Jonathan Nance, he's got, you know, Deion Stewart. I mean, they've got decent receivers. So what's wrong? Like, there's something, like, it's a lot like looking at Florida in some ways, in a more dire sense, where you go, I don't know how any of this is happening intentionally. I don't know what you do during the week.
Well, yeah, I mean, the difference is, you look, anytime people put out Jim McElwain's actual record within the conference, overall, within the East, you're like, oh, yeah, I am being an asshole. Yeah, that is better than I thought it was. And yes, I remember the games on the field and what I didn't like about them, but it's not as bad as me, the asshole, is making it look. With Arkansas, it's the exact opposite, and it feels like somehow it gets worse every week, where one week you're like, you know, Brett Bielema has only won 11 SEC games since he got here, and you're like, wow, that's bad. 2 weeks later, you're like, yeah, he's only won 3 SEC games. Wait, what the fuck did he do?
They're going bad. They're going moldy. Gotta throw them out.
And you described them as being in trouble because they play Alabama next week.
Right.
Alabama, who I do want to talk about them for a minute.
Okay,
because,
sure.
Because I don't think I enjoyed a press conference as much this year as Nick Saban's post-game press conference after daring to stay within the realm of mortals and finish with a 27-19 road victory in College Station. In front of an Aggie crowd, by the way, who was amped. They were so amped to be within 2 scores. Like, I so admire the doomed Viking rage, right? like, I don't care how many Mexicans there are. This Alamo's worth protecting. What's an Alamo? I don't know. But
when,
I got a
gun. When A&M's a 12th man, the man in the 12 jersey, the person the whole trademark is based around, blocks a punt to get you to an even 12 points, bringing you within 12 points of Alabama. Brother, it is time to break out every Aggie tradition you know. It's time to whoop. It's time to gig 'em. Thumbs up. Saw horns off. Not flush a toilet.
All the Reveilles rose from their stadium side graves that day.
Let a beautiful dog bite your head.
The dog said class was canceled for 8 years. Everybody, you get a doctorate now.
We stayed within 12 of Bama. Yeah. That's they did give him credit, man. I was like, I really felt like that was a great game for them, just a spectacular game, especially because their quarterback, I'm pretty sure he only knows 4 pass plays, only needed 4. They scored twice on pass plays. Kellen Mond, nice job, dude. But in addition to that, if you did not see the press conference, it included all the following classic Sabanisms. One. Obsessive, like a really insincere, well, I think it was a great road win. It's just the best. That's how you know they're fucked. The minute he walks in and goes, it was a hard fought win. Thought we did well. And you're like, where's the list of things? And then he goes, you know, I mean, there are some things we need to fix. And he immediately goes, like, there was a punt. There was a block punt. We missed a punt. There was a punt. We sort of flinched. We stuttered on a punt. You don't want to stutter a punt. And then he just starts going like list, bang. You're like, oh, he's getting mad. This is so good. A reporter actually like made a question at one point and asked him, and he goes, you know, I might be getting a little bit old, but you know, I couldn't hear a damn thing you said. If you could just say it again. And it was this extremely politely worded thing where he took fault for not hearing the question, and behind it were the words, I would slit your throat with an X-Acto knife. Right? Like that's what he was saying to him but the words did not match the sentiment. But clearly I was like, that's murder, dude. Just back away.
You want don't ask that question.
No, he looked drained. He looked like a destroyed man. He looked like somebody who, when he got back to the Alabama football offices, there was going to be blood in every direction.
He's an amazing human being. Robot, but human being.
He's like pushing 70.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not going to change. It's not going to get better or softer. That's not, no. Mm-mm.
Like, I'm not going to care about anything. And he's out there like, you know, Jalen didn't have his shoes tied on third down.
But you know who, you know people who do care about something? Our listener, Spencer Hall, and I'm probably going to pronounce at least half these names wrong. Don't care. This is the podcast where you come for that. Adam Battenhorst, Matt Weigand, Alan Reynoso, Dan Logan, and Bill Dunn, who did provide me with the helpful pronunciation guide, pronounced like, quote, the Gators are done with offense for 2017. Initially, when I got that, I was like, oh, ho! One did not watch the Vanderbilt game. And then, well, you know what? Extra points aren't technically offense, so it's not the offense's fault, is it, Bill? Take that. We also have some reads to do from y'all. I'm going to get my one out of the way. This is from a listener who requested anonymity because he and I went to law school together, and he unveiled to me a fucking terrifying fact. I was 1 year behind at NYU Law, Jared Kushner.
Well, I mean, you were...
You're talking about Slender Man?
Yeah.
Well, that's terrifying, actually.
Like, I might have taken a class with him. It's entirely possible.
Well, that means you got an in, buddy. You could be in charge of Middle Eastern policy tomorrow.
Yeah, you
You're
know
like
what?
731st in line for the presidency, if that still exists.
Shit. You know what? Send me to North Korea. You know what? Live full cast in North Korea. We'll do it. Do they
At
have
the
a Popeyes there?
Buffet.
Do they have a Popeyes in North Korea? Yeah, it's just it's very alarming to think like, oh, I was possibly not paying attention in tax class, and so was Jared Kushner. And now he will help shape federal tax policy, whereas I am just on a very poorly produced podcast that frequently gets facts wrong. So in some ways, we both, like, are the same person. I just don't do anything important at all.
Well, that makes two of you.
Well.
Take that drink. Good long drink. Jason, you have one.
Yeah, I had a couple to read. One from Jim, and okay. So this one is a callback to the Pivot to Video edition of this program. We had a minor catchphrase on there. I haven't delivered this in, how long has that been? 5 years now? Damn, we've been doing this way too long. Oh. Okay, so let me try this.
Jet Toner is a god!
That would be Stanford kicker Jet Toner. That's what Jim wanted me to deliver.
It's an amazing name.
It is it's an extremely good name. It's one of those names where every time they're on you hear that name and you sort of look up and yes, you're looking away because every Stanford game is one, you know, where like, okay, Stanford's leading by 9 points and they have been for about 6 hours now. But you hear that name and you look up and it just, is that real? Yeah, that, I mean, I know that's real, but part of my brain is still telling me, like, that can't be real, but I'm glad it is.
Yeah, he's from Honolulu. He's a kicker and punter. Mostly just kicks, though, at this point for Stanford. His real name is John Edward Toner, so he's doing the Jeb thing, but when you can spell Jet with it, hell yes! Hell yes, you spell Jet, and you go by Jet Toner. And people say, and you tell people you play for Stanford. What are you, a kick returner? Around that, related.
I think, yeah. I mean, so if you do kickoffs, you're sort of setting the tone for the fast guys, for the guys who can jet down the field.
That's a really good point.
So you're literally the jet toner. How about that?
Shit.
Also from Coulter, would like us to discuss Birmingham Mayor-elect Randall Woodfin coming out to celebrate the being elected mayor of Birmingham to Put On by Jeezy featuring Kanye. Obviously, that's a good choice. I Mr. Woodfin, I believe, is from Atlanta. At least he went to Morehouse, so obviously there's a connection there. If I had to be elected to a Jeezy song, it would probably be either And Then What, you know, because you can lay out a campaign promise, and then what, you know, and then I'm going to move into the, you know, the mayor's mansion, and then what, and then I'm going to embezzle, and then what, you know, and then I'm going to move into the governor's mansion, and I'm going to put all my friends on payroll. But that's what I would do. That's what I would do. Either that or my president, because, you know, why stop it? Why stop it being mayor-elect when you can just go ahead and announce your run for presidency right then and there?
Randall Woodfin, the new mayor of Birmingham, is 36.
Oh. Yeah, well, we haven't done anything.
No!
Like, not a thing. Randall Woodfin is out here introducing Jeezy as, like, mainstream political music, and he's 36.
But you know I'm what? He only has 6,500 followers on Twitter. So really, who can be impressed?
Who is he? I have a read. A couple. One is from Miguel. Miguel paid us money, so that I can say this. Miguel R. asks, "Have you considered Arizona State?" I would like to revisit this. I think it's an important mantra in life that whenever you're faced with a difficult choice, you should always say, or I could go to Arizona State.
I mean, you know who should? Brett Bielema at this point. They'll let you wear shorts. They'll let you wear Tevas. You know, they'll probably let you wear, like, a vented jacket on the sideline or something. Like a track jacket that has slits down the side. That seems ideal for him. You know, you're not that close. You're not that far from gambling if you got the itch, and I know you got the itch. I know you got the itch. And it's the Pac-12, which, as we've already discussed, they don't fire anybody. It's a retirement community, Arizona State football. Go live that life. Go live that dream, that big, beautiful dream.
And also, they put your games on so late, you can sleep in. When you're kicking off at 11:30 Eastern, hey, look at that. You can stay out late Friday night.
Plus, do you know who Arizona State plays in 2018? Michigan State. It feels like home.
Wow.
It's already comfortable. It's like they did it just for you.
Burt versus D'Antonio, man. We need that.
We need that.
Everyone would enjoy watching that at 11:30 at night.
It'd be amazing. I mean, Dennis Erickson was dead, and they let him coach for another 2 years.
Coaching at Birdies.
It's amazing.
Weekend at Birdies.
It's the Sun Devil, son. Come on.
More like Fun Devil. When Bert's in the house.
Amazing. This is so Miguel, yeah. You know what? I've considered Arizona State. I mean, I went to school in Florida. They're not dissimilar schools, really, when you get down to it. Our crime's a little more dramatic when it happens, but...
And our porn is way more amateur.
Way more. We leave the
lighting is fucking atrocious.
I think we prefer sincere.
We leave the branded stuff to the University of Miami. They do. They innovated both transport and pornography.
And transport-based pornography, yeah.
Yeah, and they actually solved the issue of public transit by combining two passions, which no American can deny, which is public transit and amateur pornography.
People aren't riding buses anymore. How do we change that?
I have a bold proposal. The other one, in a dramatic pivot, was from Alex. Alex says, Katie and I would just like to thank you, Spencer and Jason, That'd be you, Ryan, for using your platform to help people. Just, you know, hey, you know, you're welcome. It's not why we do it. But and maybe you could use whatever space you have dedicated to us to encourage people to use whatever platforms they have to help make a difference for people that need it, just like you guys do. It really helps. Well, thank you. I think that's a great idea. I would encourage anyone to do it, unless you're evil.
Mm.
Unless you're evil.
Well, what if you're fun evil, though?
Run that by the board.
What if you're, like, fun, like Seb Gorka?
If you're like Texas Booster.
Right. Yeah. Seb Gorka, Texas Booster.
Exactly. If you're a large, if you're a booster at a large,
the Longhorn of Budapest.
We're just gonna call Red McCombs that from now on. The Long of Budapest.
Going by the letter of the law here, encourage people to use whatever platforms they have to help make a difference for people that need it. I mean, I think if evil people did that, we could still come out okay, because we're still talking about getting, you know, people things they need.
Sure.
So, like, if a horrible person were to give someone food because they need food, it's still food.
Well, I think the problem is what evil people think you need, you know?
Well, no, because, listen, I know you have a law degree, so I'm sure you can back me up here once I show you the clarity of the wording here.
Yep.
Is it's not about what the giver thinks is needed. It clearly says what people need.
Yeah, that's traditionally how it's worked. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So this is a foolproof plan. So everyone just get out there and do stuff.
Evil people are just too receptive, too listening.
That is. They're like cancers, right? They have too many feelings, too many like emotions. Mm-hmm. That's why they're crabs. I mean,
passionate,
easily hurt, big feel.
Speaking of crabs, let's talk about the Miami Florida State game.
Woohoo! Yeah, this is like, it's maybe my favorite ending this year, period, because it was because Mark Richt, by the way, he's done this before. When you go, oh man, like that's just unprecedented, like. Going for it when you could have got a field goal with like 7 or 8 seconds left on the clock when you throw a pass down the right sideline to win the game. Oh, he did this at Bama. Year one, Nick Saban. They went for it. Mikey Henderson pulled in a pass, I believe, from David Green for the win there. That's the MO. So when that happened, I got a little bit of deja vu because it felt like that game where you go, oh, yeah, you just stole it. Way to go. Because sometimes, by the way, you don't have to go to overtime. You should just try to win it and leave. So you don't have to go through that bullshit. Like 7 OTs. Like Western Michigan and Buffalo had to go through.
Well, I mean, Florida didn't go to overtime in a different way, so.
That's true. We courteously missed an extra point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like in case you wondered whether Florida State was going to get past the Uno. Nope. Still stuck on one win. I don't even feel much joy in this. I'm just like, yeah, man, I'm giving you the full Holgerson. As in Dana, who, you know, said, man, that sucks. Yeah. That's you're on one win. And Miami's undefeated.
Yeah, especially after, like, Miami got off to such a shit start in this game. Just such a brutally miserable, ineffective.
How many points did they have?
It was 3-0. It was 3-0 Florida State at the end of the second quarter. And Miami at that point had punted on every possession that they had. And I think, if memory serves correctly, they had only gotten past their own 40 once for one play. And then they got sacked and pushed beyond it. But they were going three and out constantly. Their defense was playing pretty well considering the field position was pretty starkly not in Miami's favor for a lot of the game. I mean, they started at the 4, the 20, the 25, the 20, like, so they were not in great shape by going three and out from bad spots on the field, and the defense kept them alive. And then it really felt like it was just going to be the same old Florida State Miami game that we've always seen when Florida State scored to go up 2017. But somehow it wasn't. Somehow it's different this year. And now Florida State is 1-3 for the first time since, I looked this up the other day, Bobby Bowden's first year in Tallahassee.
Yeah. Yeah. That by the way, despite, I don't think, like, he's just a baby. I don't think James Blackman had a bad game. I don't. He made some mistakes. He threw two INTs, but he's coming along. He's going to be fine. Like, you don't want to be the one who has sunshine blown all the way up their ass after a loss, right? But I'm going to go ahead and do that and say, I don't know. This is coming along. Of course, I'm not emotionally invested. I could be kind of glib about this. I'm not the one bleeding or with one win.
And I mean, Florida State's offensive line against Miami's defensive front, I think we kind of knew that wasn't really going to work in his favor. I haven't looked at like the sack numbers or whatever there. I just know every time I looked up, I felt like the Canes were in his face. They did some little stuff to try and counter that. Like they ran the option a little bit. A Jimbo Fisher pro style NFL offense running the option a little bit.
Well, you know, everything's in that playbook. Everything's in that playbook. It's not just, you know, I don't like to call it pro style or anything. We're going to do what we have to do to win the game. Like,
well, what we did, we've seen that that play Andy Reid's been doing now, that little shotgun shovel pitch option pass play. So we decided since that's the NFL pro style, now we'll go ahead and incorporate that.
You're going to want to install disk 8. There are 20 more disks after that. And yes, they all are on floppy, but that's because of security. I don't believe in CD-ROM. I think that's too fancy fangled. Go ahead and put that in. Yep, playbook's still downloading. You're gonna get it all. Don't worry.
Yep, it's buffering. Unlike,
I kind of think that's why Jameis Winston was his greatest quarterback, because I'm convinced Jameis Winston never learned to play. Like Jimbo'd go like, okay, we got 3,048 pages in this playbook. Jameis is like, I'm not gonna read one. I'm gonna go out there and that be like, that guy's open. There, fine. Not saying he couldn't process it. I'm just saying he was like, Jimbo, this is 3,500 pages. An idiot would only try to learn this. I'm just going to throw the open tag.
That's the FSU quarterback galaxy brain. Is just like, just, no. Jimbo, no.
Jimbo, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do this. Like, I'm sure like Chris Winkie was the same. Because Chris Winkie played for like, let's see. He played for Florida State, you know, when I believe Mark Richt was the coordinator. And I'm sure Richt at the time was probably like, I got like a 30 to, you know, maybe 80 page playbook. And Wanky's like, I'm 27. College football's a scam. I'm throwing to the open guy.
I'm throwing fastball, occasional curveball. That's it.
That's it. I'm coming from baseball. Let me tell you, you can only do this so many ways. Oh, look, Peter Warwick, he's open. Cool. I respect that in quarterbacks who are like, not learning a thing. What are you going to do? I'm going to be confident. I'm going to walk up there. I'm going to figure out whether it's a run or a pass most of the time. And I'm going to throw to the open guy. Well, you know, you need to learn all this stuff. No, not necessary. I'm brilliant. I'm just, you know what? I'm going to throw to the wrong guy sometimes. That's fine. That's why we have a defense. Otherwise, I'll be over here on the bench. If you can find someone who can throw it harder than me, congratulations.
Would you guys like to join me on a little rankings worked upness for no reason? Prefaced by the fact that worrying about rankings in week 7 is a waste of time. These teams will either win out and then, yes, they are where they were supposed to be, or they should have been higher, or they won't, and then why do you care?
Yeah, man, I'm pissed off already. Let's hear it.
Great. Yeah. Wisconsin's number 7 in the AP Top 25. They're 5-0. Can either of you tell me two games that they won?
They just beat Nebraska.
Okay.
And they beat Northwestern. Mm-hmm. They also beat...
I believe, do they have a Florida Atlantic in there?
They do have a Florida
Atlantic. Oh, they did beat potential Conference USA East champion Florida Atlantic.
Roll Owls!
Roll Owls.
They have Purdue next.
Yep. You can throw in a Utah State and a BYU to complete the
five wins. Yeah, damn it. Well, to be fair, BYU doesn't play football. So
not right now, they don't.
If they could schedule Utah, they'd have the low ABV belt. That's why Wisconsin won't do it. They don't want that title. They're like, it's trash.
Yeah. Listen, Wisconsin might be very good. Like they've put up some good offensive numbers in these games, and I'm not saying, you know, they're trash or anything like that, but man, this is an incredibly limited data set to work with, especially when you're like, okay, they're right between TCU, which now has a very exciting win over West Virginia and beat Oklahoma State, and Washington State, which beat USC. And then easily handled Oregon. Like, for Wisconsin right now, just sort of like, sure, 7, I guess. I don't know, if you say so. Other than that, nothing matters. The rest of it's stupid. Washington, oh, wait. No, we do have to talk about Washington. Never mind.
We do.
We are the one media outlet that will acknowledge the University of Washington as a football program.
Strategy, by the way, before we leave Wisconsin on the table, my strategy is, and I tipped this in the top whatever this morning, but we're just going to Mandela effect them, because I swear I was writing it up and I was like, man, doesn't Wisconsin have a loss? Like don't they have a fucking loss? And I looked it up and they didn't. And so I've just decided that they lost to like Oregon State in week two.
No, Oregon State is too far. Cal. Too say far. Cal.
Cal? Okay, sure. They lost to Cal in week two.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm going to get people, I will repeat this is like as many times as necessary on this podcast, and I will get people to be like, yeah, man, I remember they lost to Cal. So I've kind of taken them out of my rankings.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You could throw Arkansas in there too, and then that would be three teams that took coaches from Wisconsin.
Wow.
Mm. Done.
Thurman Pitt also, even though he came back.
Sure.
Give me back my son. Situation.
Give me back my very wide son. My burliest of sons. So yeah, we do have to talk about Washington as the only uniquely pro Washington outlet, since ESPN is trying to bring them to heel by telling them you're nothing without us. I brought you to Memphis, Annie Mae.
So let's review admittedly, some people may not have any idea what the fuck we're talking about. Please lay out the sequence of events.
About Pac-12 football, so
right. Please lay out the sequence of the last 24 hours or so.
I believe it's Chris Peterson initiates this by saying that, no, he doesn't really like late kicks, right? Like,
right.
That Pac-12 plays a lot of late kicks, hurts their national standing because you don't get people watching, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. ESPN kind of responds like with a mule kick, like trying to bat away a fly with a full hoof, right? By, first of all, Kirk Herbstreit saying something on game day, right? Specifically that, I believe the phrasing was, that they should thank ESPN for putting them on at all, right?
Which is an interesting thing to say about a team that made the playoff last year.
Correct. And, by the way, a venerable college power in their own right, charter member of the Pac-8, which becomes a Pac-10, which becomes a Pac-12, right?
Rowing legends.
Joel McHale went there, and so did Bruce Lee. Frankly, that makes them a legendary college football program in my eye. But no, like, not like shushing the Mac back into line, right?
Right.
But instead, a charter member of a Power 5 conference.
Yeah, they did kind of treat him like it was Boise State, being like, we want more airtime.
And that was just the start of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ESPN then did, maybe, I know, I will say, I haven't seen the segment. I've only read about it. Did either of you watch the segment?
So during that game, there was they put up a graphic, ESPN did, that's, they were out there dumping the spreadsheet out. Like, it was, you know, Pac-12 games that kick off after 9 Eastern, the ratings are 38% higher, according to ESPN's graphic that they aired during the game, you know, like while showing Chris Peterson, which is just weird, you know. And then on top of that, after Washington fans are already worked up in a real lather, Quint Kucinich, who has a weekly gimmick where he uses food props, he has used toast and he has used slices of cheese, and I'm not sure what all else. He decided to use cupcakes this time around to as a physical metaphor for Washington's out-of-conference schedule. A totally fair metaphor, because they played Rutgers, an FCS team, and a Fresno State that is improving but is still coming off a 0-12 season, I think. 1-11, something like that. But it just didn't quite land the way it would have if you didn't have the Herb Street thing before and the graphic, and then even the other announcers joining in and saying, you know, yeah, Pac-12 games should all be late when no one's watching and all that. And yeah, it really almost felt like, you know, from on high, like, this is the hashtag narrative that we're going with Washington, is you don't matter, you don't play any good teams and all that. And like, you know, okay, yes, there are some small truths. You know, yes, Pac-12 interest is not as high as SEC or Big Ten. Doesn't really have to be. That's a big goal, you know. And yes, Washington's schedule is light. Didn't really hurt them last year. But it felt like a lot. And it was pretty weird, to happen all in one day when Washington is winning by 31 points.
I think it can get weirder. I think, like, next week, broadcast the Washington game in standard definition. Just be like, yeah, sorry. You're not worth HD. Nope. Oh, we're using the old Chirons, too. Yeah, the old ESPN2 that looks like it's written for a skateboarding game on PlayStation Original. Yep, using that. Everybody's going to be confused, think they're watching a game from 15 years ago. Fuck you, Washington.
Watch this backfire hilariously when they put their worst announcers and their worst standard def and, like, make everyone wear shitty jackets and use huge mic guards, right? And only use, like, four cameras and their worst people and, like, freelancers. And everyone's like, this is the best shit we've ever seen.
It's retro.
It's retro.
I think the way this backfires is if, the Drudge Coulter, who's the bow tie man on Fox News? It always looks like he's passing gas.
Todd Starnes?
No, that's the baby face man, right? The one who's always on at night, who's like always looking at people like they just told him, like, my face is made of dogs.
And he's Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson, that guy. Once Tucker Carlson finds out ESPN doesn't like the Washington Huskies, they are going to become the official team of Middle America. So that is how this backfires on ESPN.
Oh, man. That's going to be great.
Washington is going to be landing all the Southern recruits, from certain kinds of households.
Did Fox and Friends just call Clemson cucks?
Dabo, I don't even know what that is.
No. Cucks are who we play at the end of the regular season.
Mike Leach comes out and says, like, well, I've been saying this stuff all along. What? How are they the Drudge Report team when I'm writing the headlines over here?
Well, and then we'll see a return. So you remember how we used to decide the national championship even before the bowl games were played? I mean, I have no qualms of thinking that Donald Trump won't just show up at the Pac-12 championship and just be like, here's the trophy.
It shows up at the Apple Cup. He'll show up at the Apple Cup from Middle America's two most conservative teams and just, like, throw one of them a golden paper towel roll. And that's our that's our champ now.
That's your national champion. What playoff are you watching? That's fake playoff.
I know it's not the highest quality of football. It's probably the worst Apple Cup ever.
I just want Mike Pence to be involved in Colorado to win so that you have, like, a female mascot that he won't touch. I can't be close.
Stay in any one place too long. He's like a proton or a quark or something,
I think, guys, I think the Buffalo's laying down. Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, Mike, Vice President Mack Brown. That's who we got right now. This dude's always got to leave football stadiums. Gotta go.
I'm offended. Gotta scoot. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, but I gotta go take a $250,000 plane ride to go and leave another place.